Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Holiness Jayadev Swami Maharaj in a Bhakti Shastri course in Shridham Mayapur on 20th of November 2013, and it's a day 3 of Unit 1 Bhagavad Gita, and we are continuing with Chapter 1 and 2. Hare Krishna.
Samjayu Vacha Tham Tata Kripaya Vishtam Ashupurna Kulekshanam Vishidantam Idam Vakyam Uvacha Madhusudanaha Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutasva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samupastitam Anarya Shushtam Asparyam Akirti Kadamarjana Vāyam mās bhagavā pārtha nāyikāt vāyubha bhajyate śūtraṁ hṛdhya dhārvalyam chakko tiṣṭhā sarantapā Arjuna vācha katham hīśmām aham saṅkye dronam ca madhusūdhanā iṣu bhī katiyotyāmi pūtā dhāvahisūdhanā Nahatvai Mahanubhavan Shreyo Bhoktum Vaishanapi Aloke Advartakam Guru Niharva Kunti Ahoram Rudhira Pratikhan Nachaita Vidma Katalan No Vriyo Yadva Jayena Yadivano Jayeyu Yāne vahatvāna jati viṣāsat Devasthita kamukhe tārtarāstrā Karpanya dosho pāsāsya bhāva Vishyāsitam dhanumanam mūtavishyata Yatse yatram tishitam gurnitāme Shishyaste vāṁcādhimam pāṁkāpāṁ Nājīta pashyāṁ Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone who wishes to take the microphone and lead the chanting of the verses is welcome. Your tune may be better than mine, and your pronunciation may be better than mine. But if that's what you want to do, ask first. Sajvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanditam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bandhau Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kamsa Namos Today Sapta Kamsa Narodongi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Honi Priye Vansha Kopataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Jaye Vacha Patita Nam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before we begin our study of chapter 2 and get into the subject matter, I'll give you a little sum If I do a proper seminar, which I intend to do on the Bhagavad Gita revisions, we'll come to this. PowerPoint has encountered a problem. It needs to close. How about that? We'll probably encounter a problem again. Let's see if we can get it anyway. Technology is so much fun. Hare Krishna. By the time I find this, it's probably more trouble than it's worth, but I'll do it anyway. Good. Blank. There it is. This is the first edition of Bhagavad Gita, as it is. This is the last sentence of the last of the purport to verse 1. This realization is made possible by working with the fruitive being situated in, let's get rid of this notification, the fixed conception of the real self. Would someone like to explain this? This realization is made possible by working with the fruitive being situated in the fixed conception of the real self. This is quite just as easy as all the men should get remain brahmacharya and all the women should get married. What's the problem? Yes.
We don't know if the fruitive, you know, like being. We don't know if it's It's linked with being situated or so with being.
Pretty good.
Like in being.
Okay. Let's look at the manuscript. And this realization is possible by working with fruited result, being situated on fixed up conclusion of the real self. And if this were larger, which I don't think it will be, you'd see that inserted after with is the word out in Sri Prabhupada's handwriting. And this realization is possible by working without fruitive result, being situated on fixed up conclusion of the real self. And so, in the second edition, this realization is possible when one works without attachment to fruitive results and is situated in the fixed conception of the real self. Does that make sense? It does. Yes?
Can you
understand the middle? Middle is what Srila Prabhupada typed. No, he didn't. For these first six chapters, he didn't dictate. He typed with two fingers. So this is Prabhupada's typing. This is what he wrote. And this realization is possible by working without fruitive result, being situated on fixed up conclusion of the real self. So you were quite to the point there. The question was whether being was a noun, like a being, or whether it was a verb, like being situated. So you picked up exactly what the problem was, which the editor didn't. The first editor missed it. So it should be, this realization is possible when one works without fruitive result, being situated, or and is situated in a fixed conception of the real self. That makes sense to everyone, except some people who think, well, it's Prabhupada read the first edition and Arsha Prayog and the words of the sages and who does he think he is, and all of that.
Well,
for
those of us who started in the early 70s and read this over and over, I think this is all over. Thank you for
that. You're welcome.
There have been many times when my inner mind would sit there and go, no, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It was interesting to have to sit on the asana and give class and have someone raise their hand and ask, Prabhu, could you explain? It was hard. So there we have it. It's now sensible. Any other question or comment about this? Clear? No?
No question.
Just, yeah, this is, comment is found later in the chapter. Some look upon it as amazing, and some even after hearing about it can't understand it at all. It's kind of like a soul thing, you know? Okay. Get to work here. There's more where that came from, and we'll do a day. Enjoy. That's good. So Arjuna has, Krishna has pulled up the chariot, and the chariot between the two armies, there's no signal and there doesn't have to be a signal. Pulled up the chariot, Arjuna's seen who's there on both sides. He becomes overwhelmed and sinks down into the chariot, shokasam digna manasa, his mind overwhelmed with grief and not prepared, prepared to die unarmed and unresisting rather than fight against his guru, his friends, his relatives. And so he's overwhelmed. Vishidantam. Vishal. He's Shoka Sundagna Mahaprabhu. So, Dhritarashtra, yes? I think we can we handle the blank there? We can turn it off actually, we don't need it. I don't have anything else to show. It gets blanked out, okay. Good. So Dhritarashtra may have felt a little encouraged at this point that the hero of the opposing army is in despondency and not ready to fight. And now let's see what happens. Sanjaya Uvacha, tam tata kripaya vishtam ashru purna kulekshanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha Madhusudanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Madhusudan, seeing Arjuna overwhelmed in this way, his eyes full of tears, akula ikshanam, and vishidantam, lamenting, speaks to him. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Srila Prabhupada dedicates most of the purport to explaining this term, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. This, whenever Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, we don't find Sri Krishna Uvacha, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, and from Sri Bhagavan, Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada has a unique translation. The other translators have said the Blessed Lord, the Teacher, the Holy One, various things, mostly avoiding Krishna. Prabhupada said they have Krishna phobia. So they don't present Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. And only Srila Prabhupada does that. There were so many Swamis, so many yogis. They presented Krishna in some other way as a spokespiece for some higher truth, as your own true self, as this, that, the other thing. And Srila Prabhupada uniquely presents Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the reader may wonder, what is this Supreme Personality of Godhead? What, that's not a common English phrase by any means. And our translators typically want to know, what does it mean, Supreme Personality of Godhead? They want to take the phrase apart and figure out how it fits together. You know, like you say, Bank of America, okay? It's a bank and it belongs to America and Bank of America. So how does Supreme Personality of Godhead, how does it fit together? They get a little confused. So this is what's called a set phrase, which means that it's not really translatable by a word-to-word approach, but all put together, it has a meaning that Srila Prabhupada dedicates most of the purport to explaining. This is what's called in theology an apology. Apology not in the sense of I'm sorry that I did something, but in the sense of explaining one's reasons for doing something. An apologist in theological argument is a person who explains why something is makes sense, why it's reasonable, why you should accept it. Argument in Christian worlds are called apologetics, what we would call debate or argument or philosophical contention is also known as apologetics. How to establish your point of view as being worth consideration or being conclusive. So Srila Prabhupada apologizes in that sense for, or gives his apology for the use of this word, this term, Supreme Personality of God. He explains why this term, what does it mean? He unpacks the term, Bhagavan. And how does he do it? He refers first to Bhagavatam, what verse? Vadanti tat tatva didas tat tam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavani. There are three different realizations of the absolute, and the highest realization is the realization of the personality of Godhead. It's the same absolute truth in all three features, but the highest feature is Bhagavan. The Prabhupada explains that. For the preliminary student, there's Brahman realization. For the intermediate student, Paramatma. And for the advanced student, or the advanced practitioner, Bhagavan. Yes?
In the purport example, Prabhupada gives sun and the sun this, and the sun God. I'm having difficulty in understanding how sun this relates to Paramatma. Is that the sun this as form and Paramatma as form?
Well, it's not. It's a further knowledge of the sun. That's the point. From at first you just look out and you see light everywhere. You say, okay, the sun. I see the sun. The sun's out. You haven't seen anything more than shine, but you say, ah, the sun is out. Now, if you were to go further, you'd go outside and you look up and you say, the sun. Now I see that the sun is there. And that includes seeing the sunshine, but you've gone farther. Now you've seen that sun globe, that sun disk, that big bright ball in the sky. So you've gone farther, and you've automatically realized the sunshine. You've automatically seen the sunshine just by seeing the disk. You don't see one without the other. You see both. When you see the disk, you see the sunshine automatically. Now, if you could go still further, by mystic power or by some arrangement or other, and you could go to the sun planet itself, not only see it, but go there, then you could shake hands with the sun god. Nice to meet you, Mr. Sun. And you could get a tour, guided tour of the sun planet. Meet all the people there. Meet Mrs. Sun God. Meet all the people with the fiery bodies. The whole thing. And then you would know everything about the sun. You'd look out and see, yeah, here from here we shine all over the universe, and we have this big bright globe that we live on. You'd see the whole thing by meeting the sun god. If you met the sun god, it's everything. It's like if you go to the White House and meet the President of the United States, you don't have to say, yeah, and I also went to America. It's understood that if you went to the White House and shook hands with the President, then you must have gone to America. That's included in the ticket. Right? But not everyone who goes to America gets to go to the White House. And even those who go to the White House may not get to meet the President. So if you've met the President, you've done everything. So that's the idea. Another example is given. There are two other examples come to mind. One is a mountain. You maybe heard that example. You look from a distance and there's a kind of a big hazy something over there. Then you get closer up and you see that it's a mountain. You see some forest, and you know there's the green part and there's the browner part and there's this part and that part. And then if you get really close up, you see the individual birds, the individual trees, the stream, the path, the whole thing. Or another example, you're walking along by the railroad tracks and you see this big light. And you say, a train's coming. But really all you see is a big light which could blind you so that you get run over by the train. Then as it gets closer, you see, you start to see the locomotive and the cars and all of that. And then maybe as it goes right by, you see the people there munching on their samosas and drinking their bisleri water and all of that. So then you got real close up. You got to see that they're the people. So these are, it's the same train, or it's the same mountain, but seen from three different perspectives. So the point is that the all-inclusive realization, the complete realization, is realization of the personality of Godhead. Then Prabhupada takes the definition given by Parashara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, Aishparasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashastriya, Jnana Vairagiyoschati, Iti, what? Bhaga. Iti. Bhaga Iti Gana. So these are the six opulences. All wealth, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, all renunciation. Anyone who has all these six more than anyone else is the Supreme Person. He's the supremely beautiful, he's the supremely wealthy, the supremely famous, the supremely strong. He's supreme in all of these departments. Therefore, he's called elsewhere Asamordva. No one's equal to him, no one's greater than him. And that's the definition of, one definition of God, of Supreme. So Krishna is described that way. That when we speak of Bhagavan, it's not just, you know, the teacher. It means the person who has all these opulences in full and is therefore the Supreme Person. And Prabhupada follows that up by quoting Ishara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam, and Ete Cham Sakala Pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada establishes quite conclusively in a scholarly fashion, in with authority from Vedic knowledge, why he's using this term and what he means by this term. The late Tamal Krishna Goswami, in his doctoral thesis, establishes this term as Mahavakya, as like Prabhupada's banner term. He discusses Prabhupada's role as a theologian and presents this term as representing Prabhupada's message in a capsule form, as being his, you know, his theme, his what he wants to establish. It's all inherent, it's all there in this term, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada told that one time, there's a little girl, Sarasvati, daughter of Shamsundardas, little child. And she was going to school, and she would say to the friend, to her little friend, "Do you know who Krishna is?" And the friend would say, she would say, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Prabhupada said, "This is preaching." Yeah. So this is what Prabhupada wants to establish. If anyone simply understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he understands everything. So sarvavid. Yomam eva makamuto janati purushottamam sa sarvavid. Anyone who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead understands everything. Bhajatimam. And therefore he engages in Krishna's service. So therefore Prabhupada, when he presented Krishna's life, in summary, he titles the book, what? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Making the same point. So, here we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking Sri Bhagavan. Yeah.
I did this not the first time Krishna speaks. The previous time he spoke was chapter 1.
Yes.
We don't find this Sri Bhagavan.
No, because it's just sort of, it's not, you find this Uvacha formula when introducing a verse. There it's just like right in the middle. What is it? Pashaitan Pandubhuta. Samavetan Kuruniti. It's just in quotes. 625. Yeah. Bhishma Drona Pramukata, Sarvesham Shamihikshitam, Uvacha, Partapashaitan, Samavetan, Guruniti. It doesn't even mention, actually, in the grammar who's speaking, is it? It's just Uvacha. Sanjay Uvacha, Eva Mukto, Hrishikesha. Ah. So I guess it's the same subject, Hrishikesha. So Hrishikesha, who's drawn up the chariot, is speaking, Uvacha, Samavetan Kuruniti. It's just a quick quote. Just look at the Pandas, at these Kurus. That's all. Three words. Two words. Samavetan, three words. But four words. Partha Pashaitan, five words. Pashaitan, Samavetan, Trinity. Okay, just see these fellows who are lined up here. That's all he said. But now he gets a verse to himself. He's being formally introduced. Yeah. Six words? You got Pasha Etan, yeah. Part Uvacha, Parta Pasha Etan, Samavetan, Kurun. Iti is just. When you see iti, lots of times it means quote marks. Okay, now he gets the verse to himself, and he's speaking, he begins to speak. And not sympathetically. Kutas, or at least superficially, not sympathetically. Kutastva kashma lamidam. Vishame samupastitam anarya drishtam asvargyam akirti karam Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, where has this dirt come from? Sin will overtake us. It would be better to live by begging. Better for them to kill me unarmed and unresisting. How can I kill these superior persons? What about the women? What about the family dynasty? What about the community projects? What about the eternal family tradition? And the Lord says, where's this dirt come from? Kutastva kashmala midam. Kashmala means dirt. Where does this dirt come from? Kutastva. Kuta means from where? Kutastva kashmala midam. Vishame samupastitam. Vishame, just at this hour of crisis. Anarya drishtam. Anarya, this is fit for the non-Aryans. And Arya means a person who's advanced in culture and civilization. And Anarya means a barbarian. A person who's not an Aryan, a person who's not, he's outside of the society of civilized and cultured people. Anarya. Anarya jistam, asvargyam. And this doesn't lead to svarg, to higher planets, quite high, unresisting, nonviolent. Then I become a mahatma, and I go to heaven. Nah, Asvargam, you don't go to heaven. Asvarg means heaven. Asvargam, you're not going to go to heaven. And Akirti Kara, this leads to infamy. Kirti means reputation, and Akirti means loss of reputation. You won't go to the heavenly planet, you'll lose your reputation, and you'll be an uncivilized barbarian with all this dirt. That's called frank speech. What we call in America laying it on the line, or telling it like it is. Okay, any questions so far? Yes?
Regarding the sin Arjuna, where Guru Nanak Prabhu mentions in the explanation that Arjuna is quoting as per the Arthur Shastra, whereas Amelia, the other way is like, he's right in saying that sin will overcome. That the aggressors can be killed as per
Arthasastra,
but he is quoting
Dhanasastra. But Krishna is speaking from a still higher place. Yes.
Maharaj, in the first chapter, Arjuna is naturally caring for the family. And in this shloka, Krishna is telling that these are impurities. So how this is impurity?
That you'll find as the book unfolds. In the first chapter, he set up the argument, what you'd call the Purva Paksha. Purva Paksha means what the other side has to say. And you make that Purva Paksha as strong as you possibly can, because you intend to knock it over.
So Maharaj, if Krishna comes and says, kill your parents, so we should be with Krishna by killing our parents?
You have a choice. You can side with Krishna, or you can side with mom and dad.
So what are the things that defeat a man who loses the value of
that? That you're going to find. I don't want to give away the secret yet, but Krishna is going to explain that as the chapter goes on. It appears to be a very good argument. This is my father, this is my cousin, this is my brother, this is my friend, this is my guru.
So Maharaj, what is the duty of a son towards their parents who have given him a human form of life?
If Krishna says kill him, his duty is to kill them. Arjuna will ask the same thing. It comes up in a few verses. How can I, these people are worshipable. How do you expect me to kill them? And Krishna will explain. So hang in there and you'll get the explanation. Is it possible what?
To define the term Godhead.
Godhead, yes. It comes from German, Godheit, which comes into English as Godhood. Godhood. Godhood means the quality of being God. But the word is still there, Godhood. They don't believe in Krishna's godhood.
Above that, there in Bhaktisiddhanta Vibhav, it is said that actually the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj invented this term.
No, he didn't invent this term. No. The term is there in philosophy, Godhead. But, no, it wasn't invented by Saraswati Thakur. It's, yes?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I know. I'll speak that in a second. Thank you for your money. Got it. So it derivationally, it's the quality of being God, is Godhood, and that turns into Godhead. There are a few other English words where that same sort of process takes place. Godhead. So Godhead comes to be used in philosophy as a synonym of God, but generally used in an impersonal sort of sense. Usually when you speak of the Godhead, you know, like the Absolute. When we speak of the Absolute, Absolute could be personal, Absolute could be impersonal. So it tends to be used in a sort of philosophical sense, whereas normally we just say God. God means, okay, you know, the God the Father, God. But Godhead is a sort of, tends to be a more abstract philosophical term, the Godhead, the Absolute, the Supreme. And then Prabhupada puts it together, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when the translators used to ask me, you know, what is this thing, I said, this is really, like, Prabhupada's brilliant. He's taken this sort of abstract, impersonal term, Godhead, and put it together with Supreme Personality. So you get this convergent Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's really a brilliant sort of term. That was my way of, yes?
This term
Godhead?
Supreme Personality.
No, I don't see it. I haven't seen it anywhere. Maybe Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur may have used it.
Godhead.
But you won't find, like, in if you go reading through theological works, I don't know that you'll find anywhere Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is, as soon as you see Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's like an ISKCON flag. No, this is Prabhupada's term. It's really, he can say that Prabhupada has ownership of this term. Maybe someone else in Gaudiya Math might have on some occasion said it, but Prabhupada really takes it and, you know, nails it to his chariot as the banner and goes into battle with it. So I had this explanation, you know, of how brilliant it was that Prabhupada took this sort of impersonal term and put it together with Supreme Personality. Then I heard a tape where Srila Prabhupada was talking with my godbrother Yogeshwar Prabhu, who directly put the question to Prabhupada, what does it mean that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This word, what is that, this word, Godhead? Prabhupada said, Godhead means that he is the head God. Well, it's not a formula where you meet somebody in the street and you say, okay, now first I'm going to talk to you about Sankhya Yoga, then I'm going to... But all of these arguments are there for your arsenal. Okay? Yes?
Community projects and family welfare
activities.
Could you
share
that a little bit, what that means?
Yeah, Kula Dharma. Prabhupada does explain it, in fact. Kula Dharma Sanatana. Kula Kreya Pranashanti Kula Dharma Sanatana. Yeah, you're looking at 39?
43.
42, right. 42? Hmm? Page 142. That doesn't help me.
Give chapter 1.
Chapter 1, text 42. Okay. Jati Dharma and Kula Dharma. Jati generally means caste. Jati Dharma and Kula Dharma means family tradition. What does Prabhupada say about it? Let's see. Community projects. Yeah, for the four orders of human society. The Jati Dharma. What is your duty as a Kshatriya? What is your duty as a Brahmin? What is your duty as a Vaishya? What is your duty as a Shudra? This is Jati Dharma. Just like, again, Parikshit Maharaj at his birth, Yudhisthira and was inquiring, will he be a worthy descendant of his family? Will he be worthy of the Kshatriya reputation? Are we going to have like a businessman here? Or is he going to be Kshatriya? So Kshatriya means that you belong to this Kshatriya community, Kshatriya line, so you're expected to have some Kshatriya qualities, Kshatriya training. That, who was it? Sringi. That was the complaint against Sringi. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, Sringi was the son of Shamik Rishi, that he was a Brahmin boy, and when his father was insulted by Parikshit Maharaj, accidentally or in an inconsequential way, the little boy became showed his anger and began boasting to his friends that who do these guys think they are? Now the dog thinks he's allowed to sit at the table with the master. Maybe he should be outside growling at the trespassers, and instead now he wants to sit at the table with the masters. Just see what's become of them. Well, now just see my prowess. Curse the king. So Prabhupada refers to him as a puffed up, uncultured son of a Brahmin. But what does it mean, uncultured? It means that he had some of the capabilities of a Brahmin. He could curse and it would do something. But he didn't have culture. He didn't know how to behave. Wait a second, I'm a Brahmin. I'm not supposed to be going around cursing kings. Kings have an important role in society. I'm supposed to be tolerant. I'm supposed to be peaceful. You're supposed to get some training as a Brahmin. Just like Prabhupada, when he would train his students, he would train them how to be clean. You know, there's something called jutta. Jutta means like contamination. Like if you pick up something that's like if I drink from this glass like this, now the glass is jutta. It's contaminated. And my hand is also jutta, contaminated. My lips are also jutta. Everything's jutta, contaminated. Because the mouth is not a very clean place. It's full of spit. So that's all now jutta. So Prabhupada had to train. You know, Americans, they don't know what jutta is. They, chew on something and then they wipe their hands on their pants. Right? So they have no conception of what clean is. So Prabhupada had to take these sort of people and try to train them in Brahminical standards in cleanliness. Prabhupada said it was like washing coal. But that was Prabhupada's project, to train his students in the standard of culture so that they would actually be Brahmins in fact. No gambling, no intoxicants, no meat eating, no illicit sex, and on top of that, certain standards of cleanliness, certain standards of behavior, to rise early in the morning, to perform spiritual activity, so that they'd be actual Brahmins and not just guys with dirty gray threads. So jati, that's an occupation. To be a Brahmin, to be a Kshatriya, to be a Vaishya, to be a Shudra, is an occupation. And it's kind of usually comes in the family. It's not strict, because a Brahmin can, someone in a Brahmin family can be a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, someone in a Vaishya family can become a Brahmin. But quite often you'll see that it just follows in the family line. Like the son of a high court judge can become a lawyer, can become a judge. Not automatically. But he has, just like when I'm in Vrindavan, I noticed one time there was, you know, those flower sellers are all out there outside of the temple. I guess they're still there. They haven't been crowded out. They're still there. And they set up their little wicker stand, and they put the roses and the gardenias on top, and then start flicking a little water on it so it doesn't dry out. So I'm there in the morning. There's this, like, five-year-old kid. You know, he's setting up the stand, he's flicking the water on the flowers. He's got the whole act down. Right? Because he's coming in the family line, he comes with his father and he learns how to be a flower seller. Automatically. So that's jati dharma. That's your occupational duty. And of course that's a simple thing, but if you're a kshatriya, it's more responsible position, and there's so many things you have to learn, Brahmin also. So that's jati dharma. So Arjuna says, if I kill the leaders of the family, the jati dharma will be finished. The jati dharma will be finished. Nobody will know how to be a kshatriya, how to be a Brahmin, how to be a this, how to be a that. It'll be all mixed up, dharna sankara. Nobody will be anything. It'll just be like a overcooked khichdi or burned khichdi, you know. And Kula Dharma, the family activities, just like in a family, there's a whole network, and the brother's looking out for the other brother, and somebody's looking out for the children, and if there's a widowed lady in the family, the brothers look after the widow, and there's a whole program in a family. In a family, there's a whole support system. It's called, what does Prabhupada call it here? How should we translate it? Family welfare activities, I think. Family traditions. Family traditions. Oh, in the family, they're related, jati dharma and family tradition. On the family, there's a tradition of right of culture, of knowledge, of responsibility. You know, what do we learn from our family? We learn how to be human beings, how to behave, how to know what's right, how to know what we should do, how to know what not to do, what a good girl never does, what a decent boy doesn't do. You know, you learn all these traditions, how to, like now in Indian families, how to study and study and study and study. That comes in the family. So all of these things that come by tradition in the family, how to, even religious activities, how to observe this holiday, how to observe that holiday. If you're Muslim, how to fast in Ramadan. You know, all of that comes in the same, that will all be finished. Is that okay? Yeah. Anything else?
Prabhupada said we should study the books. I'm wondering, a few times I was in my bed and I had my pencil and I would underline.
Yeah, you can underline. It's okay.
Can we write those things?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's not like you can't write in the sacred book. You can. Seems to me I've seen that it's done.
You said they were textbooks.
Excuse me?
I thought they were textbooks.
They're textbooks, yeah. So you can do it. You can highlight and do all those things. Respectfully, it's not... But yes, you can do it. And Prabhupada said we should study the books threadbare. He said we should know Bhagavad Gita the way the Christians know their Bible. You know, you meet a Christian and he's got his like 14th Bible there, and it's, the pages are all like worn. And you're talking to him and he says, and in Luke 14:20, the Lord says. You know, he's got those verses down. You know, we can quote you chapter and verse. So, of course, how much philosophy is there is another question. But they know it. So Prabhupada said we should know Bhagavad Gita that way. You should be able to quote from the authority to uphold your position. You should really know Bhagavad Gita. Before we start going off to look for copies of Ujjo Nilmani and Amrita Bindu, Tsar, something. We should know Bhagavad Gita inside out. That's what Prabhupada wanted. Our main books are Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, Isha Upanishad, especially Bhagavad Gita is like our flagship product, you can say, our leading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So we should know it inside out. Yes? I don't know, I didn't make the syllabus, why are you asking me? Ask the course writers. I don't even know what the course is. Yeah?
Maharaj, while discussing the attributes of Kshatriya and Brahmana, I just had a question about Dronacharya's behavior. Initially, when he had fight or he had his difference of opinion with Rupa, he sent his disciples to fight with him, and yet later on we see he's so magnanimous that he's going to kill him, he just liberally educates him. So does he fall under a Brahmana or Kshatriya?
Drona's a Brahmin, because he's a teacher.
He's meant to be separate.
Well, everyone's a person, you know. And he was a teacher, so he was going to teach Drupada something. Okay? So, Anarya Drishtama Svargyam Akirti Kadamarjana Klavyam Masmagamar Partha Naita Tvayupapajyate Shudram Hridya Dorabalyam Chakrotishta Parantapa. Subduer of the enemies, Parantapa. What is this? Klaivyam, impotence. Kshatriyas are supposed to be Soryam, Tejo, Virya. They're supposed to be real men, powerful, not eunuchs. How is this impotence? Klaivyam, ma. Magavaparta, do not na eta trayu upapajute. This doesn't become you. This weak mentality, kshudram, this pettiness, hridya dorabalyam. Prabhupada will use this term, refer to it later in the book. Hridya dorabalyam. Actually. Yeah. Dorabalyam means weakness of heart. Weakness of heart. Hridya dorabalyam.
Anartha.
Anartha? Yes, definitely anartha. The heart is supposed to be strong. You know, kshatriyas have names like Singh. Singh means Simha. Singha means lion. You know, Richard the Lionhearted and so on. The Kshatriyas have names like Singha. Singh, this is a Kshatriya name. You're supposed to have the heart of a lion, not the heart of a woman. So that's the criticism, that you're crying just like a woman. Oh, Bhishma, Drona. You're supposed to be out there fighting, and you're sitting on the chariot crying. Pretty adorable. This is weakness of heart. It's weakness of heart. Krishna's not impressed by Arjuna's nobility, his high ethics, his magnanimity, his compassion. Krishna says it's all weakness of heart. Now, in the purports in the first chapter, Prabhupada defended Arjuna to some extent and said that these are qualities that indicate his fitness for hearing from Krishna. But when he hears from Krishna, this is what Krishna says. It's all weakness of heart. Okay? Now Arjuna has your verse. Katam bhishma maham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana ishu bhi pratiyotyami pujaha Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, killer of the enemies, not killer of your family members. Madhusudan, killer of the demon, Madhu, not killer of great persons. Katam bhishma maham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana. How can I oppose Ishubi Pratiyotyami? How shall I oppose with arrows in battle people like Drona and Bhishma who are pujarha, deserving of puja? I should be offering flowers at their feet. I should be offering them dandavat pranams. I should be speaking to them with words to honor them. I even shouldn't be fighting with them verbally. And you want me to kill them? That's Arjuna's question here. Pujarha. Later in the Bhagavad Gita, Deva Guru Pragya Pujanam. Austerity for those who are in the mode of goodness is to worship superior persons like the devas, the brahmins, the guru, and superiors like the mother, the father. They're worshipped. In Indian culture, you touch the feet of such persons. Not just, we make a big deal in ISKCON of, can you wash the feet of a this, can you wash the feet of a that. I don't know, we have to consult our GBC man before we can understand. But in Indian culture, the superior person comes, the mother, they touch her feet, the aunt, they touch her feet, the father, the elder brother, so many. Worship exactly. Yeah. Especially a person like Bhishma, my goodness, he's such a towering figure. He's the grandfather of everyone, son of Ganga herself, Drona, teacher of all of the, professor of military science. And I shouldn't even be. If they say something to criticize me, I shouldn't speak back to them. That's family tradition. Don't speak back to your elders. Right? Maybe your father or your sister. Don't speak back to your elders. And the child learns that I shouldn't speak back to my elders. That's family tradition. In a good family, the parents teach the child, no, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. You should do this. That by family tradition, one learns the right thing. Don't eat with your left hand. So many things. So these persons, I should be offering them puja. And you want me to fight them. That's the argument. Gurunahatva hi mahanubhavan shreyo bhoktam bhaiksham apihaloke hatvartakamam Guru Nihaiva Bundhya Bhogan Rudhiva Pratita. the their superiors, gurun, ahatva hi mahanubhavam. I shouldn't kill them. It's better for me to go begging. Bite them. Kshatriya never begs. He rules. But Arjuna says, better for me to go become a beggar than to kill these great souls. Advarta kamans tu guru nihaiva. Even if they're after some material profit, even if they're behaving avariciously, still they're my gurus. How do you expect me to kill them? Punjiya bhogan rithirapitam. If we kill them, then everything that we gain, all the spoils of battle, all all our winnings will be smeared with their blood. Smeared with blood. You know, you wanted a new Mercedes car, but you don't want it smeared with your grandfather's blood. Arjuna says that this is going to be the cost of winning. We want to have a kingdom so that we can enjoy. We want this, but what will we enjoy when everything that we win is smeared with the blood of our guru? That's his submission here. Na chaitad vidma katuranno guriyo yadvaje ma yarivano jeyu yaneva hatvana jivishamas te vasita pramitantatu. Is it better to conquer them or to be conquered? But he's confused. The people that we should be worshipping are on the battlefield opposing us. Do we fight? Do we run? Karpanya dosho. Well, maybe I'll stop here and call for our break, right? It's been an hour and a half. We go till 6:30. We can do our break now. See you in 10. Hare Krishna.
We would like your...